Tax Resolution Ninja Show, where we feature the top experts on all things tax to help you understand, navigate, and resolve all your tax-related issues. Now, let's get started with the show.
Hi, I'm Alan Rolnick. I'm the host of the Tax Resolution Ninja Show, where I feature top leaders who help people with important life events, such as educational activity, immigration settling, underinsurance funding, divorce, health issues, losing a job, sales and marketing issues, and many, many more. Best guests have been Jeffrey Schneider, Eric Cohen, Adrian Miller, and Sylvia Heyman. This episode is brought to you by Tri-State Tax Resolution. The letters are coming, the letters are coming. And now some of them may have already arrived. When you get a letter, don't panic. Pick up the phone, call me at 718-841-7317 or visit my website at www.tristatetaxresolution.com. I will take it from there. I will answer the letter for you. I will do the heavy lifting for you, fix the problem permanently, and you'll never have to speak to an IRS agent or a state revenue agent. And be able to sleep at night, not wonder when the tax man is coming to put a lien on your levy your wages and sell your children and possibly sell your mother-in-law. Just give me a call at 718-317 or visit my website, www.tristatetaxresolution.com, and I will take care of it from there. I have with me today Evan Raven. Evan, thank you for joining me. Evan is a national chess master who manages programs for students of all ages and levels. He is the CEO of Premier Chess, and you know he has all sorts of programs for schools, corporate classes. He even gives private lessons. So, Evan, how did you get started?
For one, Alan, I just want to thank you for having me on today. We met actually fairly recently through Jewish Business Networking, and both of your previous guests, Sylvie and Eric, are good friends and colleagues of mine as well, and are actually amazing. At what they do. Eric was actually on my podcast as well a couple of weeks ago, soundcloud.com/premierchess. And I look forward to actually having you on in 2 weeks as well. And I'm actually arranging a date with Sylvie now as well. So it's a great community here. But in terms of chess, I am a national chess master. I've been playing since I was seven. My brother and my dad taught me how to play. A month after that, I went to the chess club that my good friend and colleague, Women's International Master Shanaz Kennedy, ran at my school, Churchill. And pretty much 2 months after that, I played my first tournament. A month after that, I went to the Nationals in Peoria, Illinois, and pretty much never looked back. I had some great coaches over the years. Most recently, Grandmaster Leigh Nidhi Dawson, who was a world championship candidate, and at his peak was actually ranked seventh in the world. And we started this business 3 years ago. Before that, I was doing a different company, Pillar Sales, which represented startups. And before that, I was at Oracle for 3 years and Rapid7 for a year doing enterprise sales. And truly, I just decided, let's see what would happen if I sold what I loved, which was my true passion. Rather than IT solutions or other types of solutions, I was selling chess. And pretty much in the first 2 months of the business, I was in 14 schools. And now we're in over 80. And, we've had the honor of, doing corporate classes at Cramer 11, one of the top law firms in the city, and a couple other companies as well. So, whether it's a three-year-old at a preschool or, a high schooler at, the Grace Church School or an attorney at Cramer 11, we really do enjoy teaching business and life values through the game.
So how does chess help, say, the law firm or the attorney that you were taught?
Absolutely. So, it comes to a couple different factors. For one, they have a very big draw for talent in competition with other firms. So Lauren Tapper, who's their director of legal recruiting and diversity, who brought us into the firm, you know, she actually talks to us about how, yeah, there's a big struggle to keep attorneys, you know, at the top firms over SCADA and, you know, other great firms in the city. So just gives them, you know, something to do, something free, but also, you know, very meaningful. So that's one angle. It also serves as judgment training. So, you know, an attorney, you know, or knows law, you know, in and out, has been practicing for many years, but at the end of the day, if they're on deadline or trial, you know, they need to move things quickly, or kind of like yourself, you know, you're a CPA, you've been practicing for many years. But in particular for what you do, you know, in terms of tax resolution, you know, you can make one bad move and everything else goes out the window. You know, and this is something we were, you know, actually talking about yesterday. You know, that, yeah, I mean, one, you know, blunder, you know, could ruin a game.
Right.
So, you know, we teach that. And then also it serves as networking with it. You know, so when I was at Oracle, for instance, you know, people still ask me, like, oh, did you know so-and-so person, you know, like, you know, 2% of the time, if that, I knew the person, right, even if they were in the same building, you know, we had 3,000 people working at, you know, Oracle in Burlington. But, you know, through things like Toastmasters, which I did at Oracle, where I learned a lot of my public speaking skills, you know, I was able to meet people from different divisions. So, you know, someone who comes to mind is my good friend Shivali. There's no way I ever would have met her at Oracle if it wasn't for Toastmasters. You know, completely different division, but and others as well. Or yeah, from this guy Brian Leslie, you know, who was on the database team. I doubtfully would have met him, you know, if it wasn't for Toastmasters. So sure, it's a networking piece as well.
So I you know, at least. You know, the way I look at it is that learning how to play a game like chess sort of would help me strategize what, you know, what I would do to help a client get through their in my situation, that tax problem, and give me the forward thinking that I would need, you know, to sort of assess what loopholes I, you know, what might happen for as the case progresses. And so I don't make that major blunder that, you know, when I'm preparing to argue a case before the Internal Revenue Service. And I think that's important. You know, it was like the geometry, like when I took geometry in high school. You know, we say, what the hell you take geometry for? But it gives you a way of thinking how to solve a problem, and that's why I enjoyed it so much. But. So what are you, the school that you're running now, you're running a summer camp, a virtual summer camp. How's that working out for you?
Yeah, it's going very well, actually. You know, we've been able to really adapt. You know, if there's anything that I learned during this, you know, crazy time, is it super, super important just to be able to adapt, really. You know, I know a lot of people have been, you know, basically not doing a lot, you know, actually during this time. But, you know, fortunately, we've been able to adapt. And, yeah, you know, now we have a virtual summer camp going on all summer long. We've actually had over 140 signups. You know, we've had over 140 signups. We've had, you know, one kid register actually from Norway, you know, all around the country. You know, we've been getting inquiries from, you know, London and Israel and you know, around the country. And it's been great, you know. So, yeah, our camp started June 15th but runs until August 28th. Most kids do actually register for, you know, 1 week at a time, either half day from 9 to 12 or 1 to 4, or all day, from 9 to 4 with a 1 hour lunch break. And yeah, we've actually had a couple kids with us now for all summer so far.
So, I mean, what's the difference between teaching them in person, teaching them virtually?
Really not that much, actually. You know, pretty much the format is the same. We really do try to make it as much as possible like an in-person camp. So my instructors and I have been, you know, pretty strict about getting them to, you know, keep their cameras on, you know, remain alert. You know, I've also trained my instructors to make sure they're multitasking a little bit, and looking at their screens, making sure that they're, you know, visible. Yeah, other than that, you know, in every session that we have, pretty much, yeah, we do a 30-minute warm-up tournament on leadchess.org. Then our instructor will do a one-hour lesson. Then there'll be a one-hour more somewhat serious tournament, and then half hour of game review. But another thing we've been doing is every hour we've been doing stretch breaks and exercise breaks, just to keep you know, all the kids' energy flowing. And yeah, I mean, a couple weeks ago we had, you know, Michael Deutsch of Hands on Hoops come in and do a little ball skills exercise with them as well. So we're, you know, but most camps have that, right? Most camps do have you know, the random electives and surprises. That was definitely something I sort of appreciated at camp as a kid. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to say it's 100% the same as, you know, in person, of course. But, you know, look, there are benefits. You know, Monday, I just asked a kid yesterday, you know, hey, what was your, like, favorite thing about the day? You know, and he goes, oh, well, it was meeting this new group of kids from around the country. And he's been with us. He actually was one of two kids who, right in the beginning, signed up for the whole summer. And it's so cool, you know. And all the kids also get surprised because I ask them, oh, where are you from? Oh, so-and-so. You know, who's your chess teacher? And they all get shocked that I know all of them, wherever they are in the country. Well, we also, by the way, run programs currently in 8 states. We currently have school programs in New York, Arizona, Texas, Maine, and Connecticut, and quickly growing. So, you know, we're all around the country and beyond. Actually, every summer, we bring a team of volunteers to Moshi, Tanzania, where we partner with Make a Difference Now. And I bring a team primarily high school and college students, and we teach down there at one of the local schools, or secondary school, for 6 days.
Wow. So obviously, are the teachers local?
So we bring teachers from primarily the States, but all over. It's definitely open to all. Luis Cuerdo has come with us both times now. Unfortunately, we had to cancel this year's trip because of COVID. But we went the last 2 years, and we are already scheduled to go back July 11th to 18th, 2021, the Toronto Chab. And, yeah, we're looking forward to, you know, going. I already got tentative commitment, actually, from Luis, who has been with us both times so far, and Jason Bowie of the Philadelphia Chess Society coming. But yeah, we're actually starting to recruit now for next year.
But you're not doing it. You're not doing it virtually with them now.
yeah. Unfortunately, their connections are not the best in the school.
Right.
Yeah.
So the programs that you have in the schools in the United States. Do you actually have with school districts or individual schools?
So it all varies. It all varies, actually. You know, we're in 80 schools, and actually no two contracts are the same. So we, in many cases, we do curriculum classes, we do after-school programs, we do electives during the day, we do professional development. you know, in some cases, yes, we do work with school districts. For instance, we have a very close relationship with District 30 in Astoria, in Long Island City. Philip Composto, the superintendent, you know, is a colleague. We're actually in four schools in that district, PS 150, PS 78, PS 166, and PS 85, plus a private school that, you know, is in the area, St. Demetrius. So I go to that meeting all the time. Actually, like the District 2 pre-K center, we did professional development for them last year. So we actually went in to teach two teachers in all of their seven different sites. But yeah, every program we do is different. At IS 217, for instance, we actually had five instructors at the same time for an after-school program where we taught 100 kids in total, a very big program. Grace Church School, we do four electives a week. Two for high school, two for middle school. So yeah, it totally varies.
Where do you see your business going, or you know, down the road?
Yeah, I mean things are a little bit interesting now, for sure. You know, I really am a big proponent of what my friend Michael Deutsch likes to talk about, which is controlling the controllables. So that's right now, yes, virtual camp is our big focus. Truly, I don't exactly know what's going to happen next year, you know, with a lot of our schools. You know, a lot of them are still very uncertain, actually, if they're going to be in the building or not in September. I do know that whether or not it's virtual or not, you know, we will be doing a lot of school programs. We did in the spring. Many of our virtual programs in the spring worked very, very successfully. You know, new American Academy Charter School in Brooklyn. You know, they absolutely loved it. Solomon Schechter in Manhattan, a couple other schools that went virtual. You know, went very well. Actually, Achievement First Charter School in Brooklyn. Yeah, a lot of them just totally. You know, we're actually very pleasantly surprised. Just like, you know, some of the parents with virtual camp. I've had a couple of parents be pretty hesitant a couple of weeks ago because they weren't sure what it would, you know, entail, if their kid would be, you know, open to, you know, communicating for 3 hours virtually. And a lot of them were very surprised. You know, honestly, case in point, you could see I'm standing, you know, during this podcast episode. You know, there's a reason, you know, for that. You know, because I do need to, you know, just stay energized. And I think, you know, especially with the virtual stuff, you know, it's so easy. And, you know, I remember like 2 weeks ago, there was a Friday evening and I had a massive headache. And then I was like, wait a minute. I've been on and off on my screen since 9 a.m. this morning. You know, literally just sitting down on my computer. I was like, of course I have a headache. It makes total sense. So, you know, it's important to, you know, just adapt. Yeah, you know, right now it's just staying very busy. You know, I'd be going to like 3-4 plus networking events a week, staying busy, you know, promoting our camp. Yeah, thankfully, we've actually done much better with this camp than any other camp that we've done in the past.
And you see that, assuming that the schools don't, I don't think the schools are going to actually be in their physical building in September. Matter of fact, I probably don't think they're going to be in their buildings for another year, at least another year. But that's my own opinion. So do you see this extending through the school year?
Yeah, so what most people are saying now is it's definitely going to be a hybrid model. You know, with blended learning, people going in 2-3 days a week, you know, throughout the year. So today is actually the first time in a while that I'm going to be basically doing an email campaign to all of our current schools, just sort of check it in, seeing what the latest and greatest is, and how we could, because yeah, I mean, it is a time that, you know, it's a little bit difficult, quite frankly, a lot of the schools that we run programs in You know, chess is not their number one priority. You know, so especially, and that's one thing, you know, by the way, with regard to schools and chess programs, you know, there are schools that will, you know, literally reach out to me back in April and be like, hey, what are we doing for next year? You know, those are the schools that are serious. You know, I have other schools that, you know, pandemic or not, they won't even consider talking to me about after school programs until, you know, a month into the new school year. But they don't become that serious of a program.
Right, right. You would you would think that, you know, learning how to play chess would help the kids learn better. It would teach them how to give them thinking skills. And so in that sense alone, you know, you would probably want to provide that kind of program for them.
Sorry, can you say that one more time?
You would think that that having a chess program would be beneficial to the children, because it teaches them how to think. It teaches them, you know, how to pick out the possibilities of things going wrong or making moves. It would help educational wise. It's got to help them.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely does, in a lot of ways. You know, when we teach thought process and how to come up with the best move, it's not just about the chessboard, right? So, for instance, I use and by the way, the way I work with kids and talk to kids is the same way that I teach adults, right? So when I teach the thought process, well, I'm also teaching them how to come up with a good business decision. You know, if you're going to invest $100 in marketing, first you're going to, you know, consider the situation. You're going to do your due diligence. You're going to, you know, do your basic research. You're going to figure out what your, you know, opponents, your competitors are doing. And then you're going to come up with candidate moves, right? Are you going to play E4, E5, D5, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
Just like you would, you know, are you going to do a Facebook ad, a marketing ad? Are you going to, you know, pay for, you know, exposure in a magazine, right? Whatever it is. Right. And then you do that tree method where you're looking at each one and figuring out which one actually has the biggest return on investment. Right. And then if you see a good move, you look for a better move, as Emanuel Lasker said back in the 1870s. And then lastly, it's very important to do that big blunder check. You know, is there one little thing that you just totally overlook? So, you know, for instance, in terms of the business side, you know, in 1985, you might know that Coca-Cola made a very big blunder because they didn't do their market research.
Right. That's when they came up with the second version of Coca-Cola, I remember.
Exactly. It was much sweeter.
Yeah.
And it just failed miserably. You know, mainly because, you know, rather than doing their market research, figure out, you know, is this something that our clients would actually like? No, they just said, oh, there's this new competitor, Pepsi, and we need to do it, right? So, you know, chessboard on or in business, yeah, a blunder check is absolutely crucial.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, one final question. Do you have any favorite books?
That's a good question. A book I will suggest is You Can't Teach a Kid Sales. No, You Can't Teach a Kid to Ride a Bike at a Seminar. So a lot of what I learned in sales all comes from Sandler training. I luckily got it day one at Oracle. We recently actually had a podcast guest on my podcast, Sundi Purewal, who's a sales trainer. And for me, I just learned so much about sales and networking through Sandler. And basically that book is, Sandler's a several thousand dollar training. Again, I'm very grateful that Oracle was able to pay for that. For me. But you could basically get a decent gist of Sandler just in that book. And I'll just say maybe, you know, two things from Sandler that I literally use every single day. I probably not knowingly even used it, you know, talking on here. You know, so one is the firm future commitment. You know, every single meeting, you know, we have should have that very, very clear next step, right? Honestly, it like almost bugs me sometimes when I honestly go to a networking event, people say, oh yeah, yeah, we're so interested in connecting. There's so much we could do together. And then at the end of it, they're like, oh, send me an email and we can figure out a time. And then guess what? I will send them that email and they don't even respond to me.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm just like, I mean, why do you even say you're interested in talking?
Right. Right.
Well, right. Like now that said, I remember I once went to a BNI chapter 53, in fact, you know, and I'm actually part of a new one now, by the way, chapter 30. And I really do, you know, if you are an entrepreneur in New York looking to grow your business, please do reach out to me, you know, about BNI chapter 30. Alan, I'd love to have you actually as a visitor of that as well. But the whole point is, I remember I once went to 53 for the first time, and I just thought it was amazing. You know, I left that day, and I already had 4 meetings, like, scheduled on the calendar, which to me was amazing. So firm future commitment is very tough. I will never leave a meeting without having some sort of next step, because otherwise – you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
The other thing that, you know, I learned from Sandler that I think you could also learn from that book, well, among many other things, is the important concept of asking open-ended questions. It's the thing that sounds so simple, yet a lot of people don't. It's so, so easy to be, you know, hey, if you're interested, let me know. You know, or you send this little prospecting email and say, you know, let me know if you have any questions. No. Hey, send this email. When do you have 5 minutes to talk over the next few days?
Right.
Right. Makes it, I mean, who doesn't have 5 minutes to talk? If they don't have 5 minutes to talk, you know, they're lying.
Yeah.
Well, pretty much.
You have 5 minutes somewhere in the day. Evan, I want to thank you for joining me. And I appreciate your taking the time out of your busy schedule to do this. I've been speaking with Evan Rabin, the CEO of Premier Chess. You can be reached at, want to give you information again?
Absolutely. Well, Alan, thank you so much. My sincere pleasure being on today. And I look forward to having you on my podcast.
Absolutely. SoundCloud.com/Premier Chess.
He'll be there on August 10th. And yes, if anyone would like to reach me, please email evan@premierchess.com or call 917-776-1306. And I would also like to offer, actually, anyone who's listening to this on Alan's podcast, a complimentary 30-minute virtual private lesson. So if anyone has any questions or would like to set up a 30-minute complimentary private lesson, reach out, and I look forward to hearing from you. Premier Chess, conquer the game, master your life.
That's great, Evan. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking the time. Have a great day. So long, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Tax Resolution Ninja Show. Be sure to click subscribe to get updates on our latest episodes.